You found Network Listen. Around the clock, with just a click, we turn every page so you don't have to. Open Book, Network Listen's nightly read-along program, has creased the spine of our current read and is ready to take over the air right where we left off.
Good evening. Welcome to Open Book on your Network Listen. We are reading through Kieran York's Night Without Time. I hope that you have been joining us because we're coming right near the end. I think we might just have two more nights of reading. It's exciting to get close to the end, but it's also kind of sad to let go of all of our friends to know that that end is near. Hey, if you have any comments or thoughts that you would like to share, please, please do so. Head on over to our Facebook page, just Facebook Network Listen. Do a little search. If you can't find it, we should pop up there. And also, you can send an email to words@networklisten.com, and we check those sources periodically throughout the show. And if you have anything specific that you would like to ask the author, we're in touch. So you can ask, and we'll get those questions and thoughts directly to Kieran York, and we'll even get her answers for you. Yes, we will. So when we left off last, oh goodness, a lot was happening. We were kind of getting through the photo shoot, although there was a lot of quibbling. If you recall, Mama, aka Willa, wanted the sundial, the infamous, incredibly profitable sundial to be photographed. And her grandson, Vicky's nephew, Tad, was doing the honors. But there was a lot of quibbling, and Derwin came in during that time and, had some ice cream, which was really nice. And we learned some more hard truths about Derwin's life that are heartbreaking, the way that he's being bullied. And so we left off at the end of chapter 24. So tonight we're going to go right in to chapter 25. And suddenly I got a little choked up about Derwin's life. So I'm going to take a drink of water. Sorry about that. Give me one second, everybody. Okay, I'm back. And here is chapter 25 from Night Without Time by Kieran York. Too much tension has always yanked me by the collar. It's as if I become suffocated by the strain. Maybe that was my reason for loving tranquility. Very possibly, it was my reason for appreciating humor. Humor could often shift those angry gears down, but not always. I thought as I stepped outside for air and quiet. An inebriated Dottie Wake was fumbling with the keys to her front door. She would soon be over screaming the house down about finding her son. I went for a preemptive strike. "Have you been out celebrating all night?" I questioned with my very best snarky accusation. She easily read my snark. "Yeah," she squinted, gawked, to make sure who she was going to cuss out in her tirade. She was unkempt. That was an understatement. Her coal black dyed hair was like the top of a thick jungle. Her eyes were cautious, and the surrounding sockets were nearly charcoal colored. Her ruddy complexion was redder than mashed raspberries. She'd obviously had little sleep wherever she'd last fallen. Her disheveled garment was mucky with a slept-in scent. Her body was tented with a loudly printed, satiny house dress. Color varieties were a mix of bold primary hues. "Derwin is at Mama's," I divulged. She gave a swat in the air. She was slowly taking charge of her stupor. "My kid should be home." I couldn't agree more, Dottie. He should be home, being supervised. Having caught my inference, she snarled, "I got a life too, you know." She was pathetic, yet in a very obscene way. "Your son should be your first concern. Children are priorities." Her voice rose to a semi-shriek. "He's fine. I'm a human being. I deserve some fun out of life. Men still want to screw the daylights out of me." "You're certainly welcome to my share of the men." She gave a press upward to her sagging breasts. Her eyes honed in on me. Stop looking at me like I'm a fucking slam hog. I fired back. Stop looking at me like I'm trying to sell you a 20-year-old yellow mongrel. You need to stop drinking so you can take care. Excuse me. You need to stop drinking so you can take your medication. Derwin deserves some normalcy in life. Normalcy? You Brents sure as hell ain't normal. You got an ex-con and a queer and tight-ass Isabel. What the hell is she worth? I shrugged my agreement of her assessment of Isabel anyway. I have no idea what she might be worth, but I can tell you, your son has a heart of gold. He's a great kid. He deserves a parent who loves him. I love him. That's better love than the oddball Brents. It isn't even close. My mother and grandmother raised him more than you did, I reminded her. She wasn't going to argue that point. She wanted to return to her offensive stance. And your grandmother was every bit as much an old hatchet as your mother is. Taking a deep breath, I then released a strong puff of air that could have knocked over a brick. Dottie, you are drunk. You're pulling yourself in here at noon. All my words, the ones I wanted, they were lost between my brain and my throat. Derwin is going to get lost, get kidnapped, get hurt, or even get killed. If some perv snatches him, he needs to be cared for. Tell him to get his ass home. And when he gets here, I'm telling him if he ever goes next door, I'm gonna whip him until he can't sit down. You touch him, and I'll have child services in here within the hour, so don't. I turned. I was angry and needed to calm myself. Although I'd had no intention of harming her, in the back of my mind, I was not treating her to a gloved boxing match. Those gloves came off when she called my grandmother an old hatchet. Emblematic of the Brent women, we protected the name of my dead grandmother. Grandma was no saint, but we treated her like one when she was alive, and more so, we treated her soul like one when she died. Deceased Catholics tended to get better as time went on. Real scallywags obviously knew they'd eventually become an okay person. It's just that it took dying to get there. Well, we all loved my grandmother, even though she was crotchety at times. The minute she died, she became a sweet old soul. She never warmed totally to Leah. I suspected she didn't like the name Leandra from the start. She'd grumbled over it being too different. When Leah was in middle grades, Grandma had just begun walking with a metal arm cane. We usually all played games with Grandma when we got home from school. Well, mostly we allowed Grandma to cheat at Chinese checkers. But Leah never turned a blind eye. She'd say, "You can't move that marble over there, Grandma." Grandma would become livid and smack the tabletop with her cane. The marbles would go flying, and Grandma would be yelling at Leah. We loved Grandma in spite of her little foibles, but Leah did actually like her less than Isabel and I liked her. So I was perturbed as I walked quickly back to Mama's. I gave a muffled chuckle. Dottie wanted to press my anger button. Hell no, I wouldn't throw the first slap at Miss Able to get the daylights bonked out of her crazy drunken Dottie. I tell Mama that Dottie called her and Grandma old hatchets. Retribution. As I opened the door, I realized pandemonium had also made its home at the Brent address. The only one not saying a word was Derwin. It was just another day amongst crazy for him. I dropped the conversation into Mama's lap. She balled her fists and her eyes formed some dangerous artillery. She began stomping next door. Both Isabel and Leah followed after her. They didn't want to miss anything. I motioned for Derwin to come sit out on the back porch with me. I figured I'd be able to hear any good parts from next door. Truth be told, I didn't want Dottie to take a swing at me. One swat from her could break my nose or loosen my teeth. "Come on, pal," I said. We sat down. Derwin's slow, pensive speech asked, "My mom is gonna be sick, isn't she?"
"Yep, probably."
"What's the real reason your family is all fighting over the old sundial?"
Derwin, it's valuable, and so they want it. He nodded.
I don't know what they want with it. It doesn't work.
He was clearly perplexed.
When something doesn't work, we throw it in the trash.
What do you mean it doesn't work? I questioned. He shrugged as his head tipped.
Your grandma said it only works in the sun. It doesn't work without sunshine. That's what she told me. When it goes dark, it doesn't work. It's like a night without time.
I never thought about that, but it was correct. They like it because it's worth a lot of money, not because they can use it.
Why does somebody give them a lot of money if they can't use it to tell the time?
Because it is what they call an antique. People want to look at it to see how people used to tell time. I watched his face begin to comprehend. Suddenly, our heads lifted in unison. Derwin said,
Mom's getting loud.
A ruckus was boiling over. I stood. Stick around. I don't want you going home until it gets quiet. I dashed over to Dottie's front landing.
And you're a battle axe, Mama screamed. My sisters had her by the arms, restraining her. You can't talk about my mother like that. Both of yous are the same, Dottie yelled back. Then she advanced on Mama. A couple of fucking old hags. And you think you can get up in my grill and yell at me? Shit, no.
They were all acting like Harridan's gone wild. Then Dottie widened her net. She was now dismissing another generation. Isabel didn't like being called a holy roller, and Leah objected to Dottie's calling her a counterfeiter. Dottie didn't know the technical terms. Embezzler and counterfeiter are different. Both are crimes, but different violation. Dottie wasn't any kind of authority. The drunk tank was as far up the ladder as she got, criminal-wise. I figured I was next. She'd probably come out with some beauties to pitch in my direction. Dyke would have been too mild. I'd only have laughed at that. Suddenly it hit me. I needed to warn Leah. While I wouldn't throw a punch at Dottie, Leah might. I pulled Leah's arm. Those rough, tough, strong women might have taught Leah how to defend herself or when to aim a sucker punch. Leah, you go back and make sure Derwin's okay. I then whispered, if somebody calls the cops, you could get run in. Her eyes went double size as she made a beeline toward Mama's backyard. For wearing sky-high pumps, she was moving on out. During the next several minutes, I pulled Mama back a couple times. However, Dottie would get in her face again. Isabel acted as though she might be part of some stage production. Her son had left when the combat started. Wise, maybe he wasn't as dumb as I thought he was. Isabel was the next to surrender, which technically makes her brighter than me. I continued to try leading Mama away from the neighborhood disharmony. Finally, she whirled around and followed after me. Over her shoulder, she called out, You are a soaker, a wanton chippy, Dottie Wake. That's what you are. To me, she blurted, Did you hear her call my mother a hag? She called you a hag, too, I unwisely reminded Mama. Mama had replayed the entire event by the time we got to the empty kitchen. As if I hadn't heard a word of the exchange, she wanted to make sure I got the blow-by-blow account. Twice, if necessary. Derwin had gone home, I hoped. Tad had grabbed his camera and scooted. Leah had obviously poured herself a glass of milk because she left the milk container on the counter, as she most always did. Then she'd retreated to the basement. Isabel had taken her sack of garden variety vegetables and egressed from the property as fast as her little legs could travel. Alrighty, we're going to take just a little pause there. We're not quite to the end of the chapter, but we will be as soon as we come back. We are reading through Night Without Time by Kieran York. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or thoughts you'd like to share, send us an email to words@networklisten.com or post a comment on the Facebook page, Network Listen. We will be right back.
Vera Schaefer of Rogliano Real Estate Group reminds us that accidents happen. Yet, the only way to recover is to see it through. If you cause an accident, don't run. This plea to reduce hit and runs is from VeraSellsDenver.com, handling your real estate needs with a mindful and common sense approach and hoping everyone will arrive home safely.
Molding with a 12-inch dual compound miter saw while holding a newborn baby in your arms, when face-to-face with a congregation of alligators, with the ball in your hands and the entire freaking season on the line.
There are a million places you'd never consider texting.
As you're getting chewed out by
your parents. So why would you do it while driving? Please stop the text. And together, we can stop the wrecks.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at stoptextstopwrecks.org.
Network Listen, coming to you everywhere the internet extends. Are you ready to listen in? Finally, let's get back to the story with Open Book.
Yes, let's get back to the story. Oh my goodness. So when we left off, Vicky was at least able to get everyone out or back to their house or wherever they needed to go, apparently safely. And this is, we're back in the Brent house, and this is where we're at. I was stuck. Mama guided me to a kitchen chair. As she pushed me into a seated position, I felt as if I were a hostage. She had a roll of duct tape on her person. I would have feared for my life. She began. I've never heard such trash. Talking like that about me and my mother. Why, your grandmother would have slapped her mouth. Grandma could get plenty mortified herself. Come to think of it, it might be a gene thing. And Mama inherited. I could actually envision Grandma socking Dottie a good one. When that flash of hostility beamed from Grandma's eyes, it was like lightning smashing the ground. Hell, I thought. Grandma would have knocked Dottie's head clean off her shoulders. Holy blazing crap, Grandma's glare alone could scald. One good thing, the bickering did transfer the ire of my sisters and Mama to the wild-mouthed Dottie. Temporary, sure, but at least it cooled the temperatures. The typical rocky times were simply little snips at one another. Now, with the sundial on the line, it was as if the war that had always been undercover was now exploding. The world's most courteous arbitrators and diplomats wouldn't have a chance at settling this deal. When Mama took a long breath, I stood like a jack-in-the-box, amazed I didn't catapult to the door. I sidestepped quickly. Mama, I need to run back to the apartment so I can add a couple of things to my blog. If you need me to come back later to help you get the sundial to the bank, just call. However, Leah's right here, and Isabella's only a couple blocks away. But call if you need me. I surely will. If you see that bitch from next door outside, don't you talk one single word to her. My eyebrows shot upward. Mama had called her a bitch. And sure enough, she wouldn't want me to talk to the bitch next door. I was feeling a little guilty as I scrammed out of there. Once in my vehicle, I peeled away from the curb, all the way to the corner. Maybe I shouldn't have told Mama what Dottie had said, but at least it got the Brents all on one side for a while. I couldn't wait to relay the news to Charlene. I'd bet she wouldn't be so quick to turn down a chance to witness all the excitement. But then again, she got most of her laughing out when I replayed it for her. Hoping that Mama wouldn't call me to help them get the damned sundial back in its safety deposit box, I even did a quick Hail Mary. I thought about how savage the neighborhood had become. Well, Mama's house, too. Charlene was certainly going to get a kick out of this latest Brent episode. She would be a little disappointed to find out that Dottie hadn't gotten the chance to throw her fists, and she hadn't gotten around to lambasting me. Although Dottie probably would have loved to unleash all the synonyms she had for lesbians, but there just wasn't time. That's the end of chapter 25. We are going to go right on in to chapter 26. As she gulped for air, Charlene's snicker continued. She'd arrived back at our apartment a few minutes after I had.
I was glad that she decided to come home early because I had comedic events brimming from the photo shoot. As well as the knockdown between Mama and Dottie, drama flourished, you might say. Mid-afternoon on a Friday was a good time for Char to leave her office. She'd brought work home, so felt justified in taking off early. Earlier on the phone, I'd started to tell Char about the skirmish. When I described the fight of the decade on Berry Avenue as being indescribable, Char said, hold it until she got there. She would coax every little detail out of me. She would give me the sign to slow down, or her hands would roll gently, hurrying my story on. She directed the tempo of this episodic chronicle of the Brent family event. When she'd entered, she held up her hand to halt me from starting before she was ready. By ready, I mean comfortable. She opened and poured wine while I tossed a few chips in a bowl. Then, as we sat to toast, she gave the nod. So, Snarkbutt, let's hear how you converted from a sweetheart to a Snarkbutt in one afternoon. Teetering a moment, I then began telling her about the day. I could still see Mama standing there with her hands on her hips, barking down at me, seated at the table, about how she'd told Dottie off, good and proper. And then Mama said, that ought to fry Dottie's fritters. Well, I had to leave. I remembered one time Mama gave me a smack for laughing at her. She told me not to talk back. I said I wasn't talking back. I was laughing back. She whacked me again. I'm amazed that she'd stand up to Dottie. The woman is two stories high and looks as if she could easily be a sumo wrestler. And your mother is a little stick of a thing. Hell, I'm larger and stronger than Mama, and I stood back out of range from Dottie's fist. Mama got right up in the vicinity of a punch. Isn't it going to make it difficult when you see Dottie again? She was staggering drunk, so I don't think she'll remember. She never does. Can she get help again? Yes, I'm sure she can. It's just that she wants to drink. She even stops taking meds so she can drink. We've often offered to help her. Grandma used to say she's not long for the world if she doesn't pay attention to her health. She'd tell Dottie to her face that if she didn't lay off the sauce, her demise was near. I'm surprised your grandmother didn't get smacked. Dottie needs some detox again. I just hope she gets help soon enough to save her. Once, when we were trying to walk with her, she said she couldn't help drinking. Having a kid who was slow was too much for her. Mama and Grandma tried to convince her that Derwin is a magical little guy. Dottie wasn't listening. She wasn't listening because that was her excuse to drink. She's sick. Anyone would be lucky to have a son like Derwin, but she needs some reasons to drink. He's her reason. Heartbreaking, Char said as her eyes filled. For everyone. Mama prays for Dottie that she'll get help. Maybe one day she'll need to get help, Charlene said. It's also sad for Derwin. He's a good kid. He has enough going against him. What do you think would become of him if something happened to her? I took a sip, and then another. I don't know. Mama isn't ready to retire. At her age, social services probably wouldn't agree to give custody to her if she works. There's Isabel. She moans about Tad going off to school and her being alone. But Derwin has problems. He's slow. The jury is out as to whether he's homosexual. Isabel is not patient. Plus, she would be a fright about the gay thing if that were his inclination. As a lesbian, she would be my last choice for a substitute mother, Charlene lamented. She's insinuated that I could change if I would only give myself a chance to be straight. Derwin is going through a hooch-filled mother. Why give the poor kid another cross to carry? Besides, Isabel wouldn't be interested in being tied down with Derwin. No. Leah has a kind heart, but she works, and we both work. Is there any family beyond Dottie? Dottie's family is certainly not interested, and his father, well, whoever Derwin's sperm donor might have been, finding Hib would take dozens of DNA tests. The kid would probably be collecting Social Security before he found his biological father. I presume that search would be much more difficult than finding your father. Locating your father seems to be impossible. So it seems. And your mother isn't the type to chase with men. I'm pretty sure Mama didn't do any carousing, even if Isabel and I joke about Leah not sharing our father, or there had been a stork mix-up. I can't see Mama cheating on my father. I shook my head. Nope, I just don't see it. After my father left, Mama sort of put the kibosh on romance. It was as if she abdicated her libido. It all shut down. Maybe she still loves him. Char poured another half glass of wine. I'm guessing when it was over, it was over. I know she told me once that she'd checked with his relatives when he left and none of them knew where he was. My jaws tensed. I did try to find my father. I did. But where do I start? I can't search under every viaduct in the world. No. She reached toward me, taking my hand in hers. We both knew I was reticent about finding him. If it is important to you, though, we could hire a detective. You know, someone who searches cold cases. Nah. I did put him on a couple missing persons locator lists, but I doubt I'll hear anything back. He vanished. I sucked in a breath. My guess is he lived a hard life and died. Let's talk about something happier. She lifted my chin so that our lips could meet. Her kiss was the warmest warm I'd ever known. Rats! I said as my phone rang. The ringtone was a song I liked, but I did not like it when mid-kissing. Slow down, Isabel. Come here right away. It's an emergency. Isabel hung up before I could answer. Isabel says there's an emergency. I better go. Want to come along? An emergency could provide you with some big-time hilarity. Knock yourself out, but don't forget the details. I'll work on my Monday presentation. That will give us the entire weekend together. Driving to Isabel and Sully's at a fairly rapid clip was unusual. An emergency called for expediency. Normally, on my way to see Isabel, my pace was slow, purposely taking my time. Preventing the onslaught of Isabel was a major decision. But Isabel sounded panicked, so I was in rush mode. While I drove, I thought of the entire weekend with Charlene. I wouldn't even go to Mass. Mama wouldn't like it, but I would be loving it, and loving Char. Parking quickly, I half ran to the door. I knocked and got no response, so I ran around to the back. Sully greeted me. What are you doing here, Vicky? Isabel said there was an emergency. I assumed I was to come here. I was confused. She's at your mama's house. She probably called from there. So what's the flippin' emergency? I resented that Isabel was so rattled that she didn't say that she was at mama's house. I don't know. She got a call from Willa, and off she went. She told me about the brawl this afternoon. It was quite a tiff. It reminds me that there's nothing quite as smooth as silence. Dottie can reach any high note you might request. She scares me, Sully admitted. Dottie is a danger to herself and others. I'm glad Leah went inside in case someone called the police. Isabel claimed she, Isabel, remained calm and attempted to settle things down, Sully said dubiously. If there was an eye-rolling moment, I thought, she said that? He chuckled. Maybe the dispute is continuing. Want to stay here? I've got an iced six-pack in the fridge. I'd like that, Sully, but I'd better head over to Mama's, in case Dottie might have gone off on Mama. Try to stay out of the wrangle and duck a lot, his husky voice warned with a laugh. Back in the SUV, I felt a low-grade anger. Then the rush began because I figured Isabel was in a dither, or she would have mentioned she was at Mama's. It cost me an extra 10 minutes, and I'd be blamed for not making it to Mama's at lightning speed. Mama's favorite saying when I'd dawdled along was, "If I told you I'd make a coconut cake, you'd have been here 20 minutes ago." I said fuck several times under my breath. My language was not always pure. I usually blamed being on the softball team for that. My profanity had bloomed within the clutches of the team. Blasphemies, expletives, and any form of swearing. I learned every 1, 2, 3, and 4 syllable cuss words from the locker room, field, and after-game parties. I overdosed on saying fuck. When I was in college, I became so intimate with the word that I could nearly taste it as it slid through my lips. During that era of my life, the softball days took my mind off life's quandary. Would I make it in life? I wondered. What was making it all about? Now, for me, I could answer that I had made it. Charlene was all the hues and tones and textures that constructed the remarkable making it. Naturally, I considered myself blessed, fortunate beyond all my dreams. A minor part of my dreams was that I would be employed by a national publication. I would have my own column and it would be recognized, or write a book that mattered. Instead, I work at jamming words onto a page meant to encourage the purchase of tires and fresh orchid jelly and women's trendy handbags. But I also write a blog. It was sort of a work release program that allowed my spirit to yak about heart messages. I could jot down how the fragrance of scented geraniums impacted my world. I was able to explain what I gleaned from people's idiosyncratic motion. I once read that artists are nature's intermediaries. One of my blogs was about listening to the birds' conversation, my early morning walks when I visited with sunshine, and the days that provided bird chatter. I was locked to the landscape for times so special that it made me grin. So I assembled words. My blogs totally excluded the softball anthem of fuck 'em all. That is the end of chapter 26. We will be back with chapter 27 in just a few seconds, maybe a minute, you know, not too long. You're listening to Open Book as we read through Night Without Time by Kieran York. If you have any questions or comments, please do not hesitate to send us an email to words@networklisten.com or to leave us a comment on our Facebook page.
Tune in every Wednesday for Network Listens Women Wednesdays, a fresh new lineup every week featuring Graphic Novel Garage, Women Aloud, Ben's Book, and Fairy Tales Today. Women Wednesdays starts at 6 p.m. and airs to midnight with episodes of Open Mic and Open Book up until the borrowed cocktail hour rounds out the night. All of this with just a click. Women Wednesdays on Network Listen, where we make it easy and worthwhile to listen in.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Network Listen, your home for reading, hands and eyes free. Network Listen's Open Book always knows which page is next to be read.
We certainly do our best to know which page is next to be read. Welcome back. I am your host, or narrator, or whatever you would like to call me, Sean Marie Bryan, and we are in the heart and coming to the end of Night Without Time by Kieran York. Here is chapter 27. Mama was in hysterics. Leah and Isabel's glares were carving large chunks out of one another. I'd never heard Mama so utterly deafening. She kept pacing. Even her hands were ranting, well, whirling. It was like she was trying to throw her hands away and they wouldn't detach from her wrists. "It's gone," she wailed. She did a rapid-fire sign of the cross, then her hands resumed their flapping, undulating. "What? What's going on?" I inquired. I was clearly out of the loop because I was the only one still breathing properly. "The sundial!" Mama shouted. "Someone stole the sundial! The treasure is gone! Someone stole my sundial! My sundial!" Leah exclaimed dramatically. Her fake eyelashes blinked wildly. They were extenuating lashes, with the right side having a tenuous overhang problem. She pointed to Isabel. "She and her son conspired. They think they deserve it, and it's mine! Yours!" Isabel was facing off with Leah. "Don't you accuse my Tad and me. You're the thief in this family!" Quickly, I pointed at the table. "Everyone, sit down and let's figure this out." Amazingly, they listened to me, and the three of them sat. I went to the cabinet where the bounty had been stored for safekeeping, as it happens now, it hadn't been well enough hidden where it had been definitely wasn't keeping it safely. I didn't give a rat's ass about leaving fingerprints or smudging fingerprints. Anyone who had been in the house had left fingerprints everywhere, so it wasn't really relevant. Peering inside, I saw that the sundial was definitely gone from where Mama had placed it. I looked on the other shelves. No dice. No sundial. I stood as I thought about Mama's old saying about things don't scamper off by themselves. That sundial hadn't walked away on its own. The cabinet was empty of the sundial. So much for following the blood trail. Like Grandma used to say, it was spick and span clean.
They took it, Leah accused. Greedy Gut and her son took it. You, Isabel stammered at Leah, are the felon. You stole Mama's sundial that rightfully should go to my Tad. Stop, I commanded as I sat.
Okay. Who had the opportunity to take it? I was sounding like Columbo. Grandma never missed a Columbo mystery. Mama was with me, and she already laid claim to it. I was in her view all the time. She saw me leave empty-handed. Mama interrupted me. I saw her leave, and like she said, she had nothing. She'd even forgotten to take her sack of vegetables. I hadn't forgotten. Mama continued. I certainly would not have taken the sundial. I already owned it because the will said it was mine.
Well, that excludes Mama. And I was with Mama, battling the drunk hunk from next door.
I paused. Tad had been alone in the kitchen before he left.
My Tad has never been in trouble and has never taken anything that didn't belong to him. He's been raised properly by Sully and me.
Mama began to rage.
Don't you be saying I didn't raise the three of you properly. You were all taught right from wrong, my girl, so don't start comparing us. You had a husband taking care of your needs.
I'm not saying that, Mama, she quickly refuted. Tad did not take it, and Vicky better keep her mouth shut about my son.
Isabel, I'm only excluding the ones who couldn't have taken it. Relax a minute.
Now where was I? Continuing rapidly so no one else would interrupt me, I said, and afterward, Leah was here alone. For that matter, so were you, Isabel. Rather a bit too haughtily, I added. I was in Mama's sight every moment, so I'm excluded.
Derwin was here, Isabel indicted. He could have stolen it.
Disclaiming her charge, I said, he had the opportunity to nab it, but he didn't realize it was valuable. He kept saying it couldn't be worth anything because it didn't work. He asked me why anyone would want an old clock that didn't work most of the time.
But he had the opportunity. He could have, Mama said. He has to go down on the suspect list.
He's almost grown up here. He's never once taken anything, I defended.
Well, he had the opportunity,
Leah parroted Mama. Okay, here's the plan. Everyone take a room and begin searching. It might be in the house, I instructed.
I want to search Leah's room, Isabel seethed. Go ahead and search my bedroom, Leah said, her head lifted. I haven't got it. It's probably in your son's room. Can I go over to your house and tear Tad's room up?
Both women sprung to their feet in unison as if they were Radio City Rockettes. I almost expect a couple kicks. Leah was so much taller than Isabel that she could have kicked Isabel's teeth out. At this time, she probably would have liked to do just that.
Start in this house and work our way outward, Mama commanded. We can search the garage and garden next. I've read in detective books that they begin at the center of the crime scene.
She elevated her head. She must have thought she was queen of the cold cases.
Great idea, Mama, I encouraged. I'll run over to see if Derwin knows anything about it or saw anything to do with its disappearance.
You think that bitch will let you in? Leah questioned.
She will. If not, I can get Derwin to talk with me outside.
As I trudged across the grass, I wondered if my health insurance was current. Dottie Wake was probably some kind of exemption. I also hoped my own one-page will was up to date and properly signed. Charlene didn't want my meager possessions and small insurance policy. She recommended I give any bucks I had to the Gay and Lesbian Community Center. I had done just that, and I was happy for my decision. I was particularly gratified after now knowing the true nature of my family. Mama, Isabel, and Leah were all avaricious, selfish money grubbers. I was thrilled they weren't getting a nickel from my small pile of coins. There were lots of terrific and needy gay and lesbian funds. There were educational funds to help kids who'd been kicked out of their homes. There was also a public relations group that promoted anti-bigotry ads and programs. And of course, there were the legal assistance funds. All good causes, I considered as I thought about how badly the family was acting regarding the sundial. Muttering to myself as I walked onto the landing, I had no qualms about leaving my family out of my will. I wouldn't want to think they scratched one another's eyes out because I left an extra few bucks to any of them. I also wanted Derwin to have my softball baseball equipment. I had a few hopes that he'd ever use any of it, but maybe he'd find home for it. My family clearly showed their colors. They'd rip the stitching out and sell the leather from the gloves and balls to some junkyard. Goodness knows what they'd do with the bats. I wished I'd had one in my hands at this time for protection. Taking life and limb in my hands, I marched to the door and knocked. Before the door opened, I took a leaf from Mama's book and made the sign of the cross. That is the end of chapter 27. Oh my goodness. I think since it's a clean break, we will stop there just for a pause. We will be back and we'll pick up right at chapter 28. Oh my gosh. We will all be waiting on the stoop of Dottie Wakes together. You're listening to Open Book. We're reading through Night Without Time by Kieran York. Of course, you can always send a comment to words@networklisten.com or leave us a comment on our Facebook page. Thank you for reading along with Network Listen.
All About Paw's Doggy Daycare, where the dogs set their own schedule. They can run free outside or inside, where it's temperature controlled. All About Paw's Doggy Daycare is open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7. Set up a grooming appointment or commission a pet portrait. They're in Wheat Ridge, and we guarantee your dog will be panting to return. Visit allaboutpaws.org because there is nothing run-of-the-mill about your dog.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
1 second I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Network Listen. Happy to be the background to your night. Finally, let's get back to the story with Open Book.
Welcome back. I am your host slash narrator slash reading fan and aficionado, Sean Marie Bryan. You're listening to Network Listen's Open Book, and we have been reading through Kieran York's Night Without Time, and I've gotten some really nice compliments through email and through Facebook, so thank you so much. But I'm only, a reflection of the words I'm reading, so really those compliments go to Kieran York. Okay, I won't keep you waiting on the stoop much longer. Here is chapter 28. As she leaned halfway out the door, Dottie swung a mug of liquid. It didn't spill, so when she made a crude gesture that would have upset Mama, I hoped she was just settling the mug business and her middle finger flew up on its own. Mama would have interpreted it in the worst way, but not me. I must have awakened her from a sleep she dearly needed. With running mascara surrounding her roomy red, bulbous eyes, she squinted at me. Smeared makeup caking her face, she looked a fright. "I know we bickered, Dottie, but I really need to talk with you and Derwin."
"Your old lady better stay clear of me. That fucking old weasel can kiss my sweet ass."
I had serious doubts that her ass had ever been sweet, but I wasn't going to mention it now. I was on a fact-finding mission, and being conciliatory was part of my greater plan. Mama's a little contentious, I agree, but we have a problem over at Mama's house. Derwin might be able to help us. He was over there when all the fighting between my sisters was going on.
You Brents, come over here like you own the neighborhood.
Well, it wasn't really about that fight. As they say on the newscasts, the war was breaking out all over the frickin' place. But let's skip to the other fight. Isabel and Leah were upset with each other, and I paused to see if she was following. I was up to my eyeballs in fights. And, well, the old sundial of Grandma's went missing. Since Derwin was over there, he might have seen something suspicious.
Derwin! She hollered downstairs. Derwin! You get up here!
I could hear the clatter of his shoes on the stairs leading from the basement. What, Mom? He asked, frowning at me. He greeted, Hi, Vicky.
Hey, Derwin. I was wondering when you were over at Mama's, did you see anything to do with Grandma's old sundial?
I didn't take it,
he resolved firmly. His eyes did shift, but they often do.
I didn't say you did, I corrected. I thought you might have seen one of the others take it.
My kid didn't steal nothing from over there,
Dottie began, blustering.
My kid ain't a thief. You got the felon over there. And Isabel has always been a sneaky, highfalutin' turkey leg bitch. So don't bother telling me that your mama is hard done by luck. She hasn't had any harder time than I have, other than her odd assortment of daughters.
Her babbling would have continued, but I interrupted.
Dottie, I didn't say Derwin took it.
Who wants any of your fucking trash?
She was getting belligerent. I could feel it.
Let's ease off a minute. I'm not here to fight.
Too bad, because I'm looking for a fight.
Solitude is sometimes my best emblem, but I felt mired in the dispute. Before Dottie began pitching fists, I would go for a resolution. I wasn't optimistic, however, that I could solve the poop-throwing contest.
Dottie, nobody is accusing Derwin. I just needed to know.
Better I come over than Mama comes over. She's in a terrible mood.
Fuck her, Dottie shouted. My kid ain't a kleptomaniac.
With a clandestine lift of my arm, I pointed toward the back, hoping Derwin would get my drift and meet me in the backyard.
Well, let's just empty our chambers so we can be friends again, Dottie, I suggested.
To Derwin, I asked, want to play a little catch? He began to shrug. Dottie put a cork in that bottle.
He goes nowhere near you crazy broads. Tell all the Brents to stay the hell out of my life.
You'll feel better after you've rested, Dottie, I said with a forced smile that was so bogus and croaked.
I felt ashamed of myself. Being disingenuous doesn't come easy for me. It never had and probably never would.
It will all work out. Let's not allow a few hasty words to ruin our neighborhood friendship.
The lie bell was going off in my head. Mama used to say if we told a lie, it showed up on our forehead. Poor Leah would lie her socks off and then turn to ask Mama if her forehead said lie on it. I almost hoped that the women behind bars had taught her a little street savvy. Dottie gave a guttural sound that I translated to mean she didn't really give a damn. She was hoarse from drinking all night and shouting all morning. She didn't have time for the likes of me. I wished I had some throat lozenges to offer her, a peace offering that might soften her hostility up a bit. I said, okay, I'll just be running along. I turned to leave. I should have backed away. A huge bourbon-scented mug came whirling past my head. If it had slammed me, it would not only have taken my ear, but the entire right edge of my head. It would have also certainly intoxicated me. I broke into a hard run. I never knew Dottie had that kind of an arm. Jeez, I was trying to teach her son to pitch. When I got to Mama's front door, I heard the Brent battle continuing. I wouldn't tell anyone about the mug nearly beheading me. It would only start another explosive rumble. Things were way too high-strung in the neighborhood. I would try to get my pugilistic butt back to my sweet woman as quickly as possible. My mind was dancing with the thought of taking my honey blonde beauty with her sparkling green eyes in my arms and making love. Love making or love sharing,
Yes, I suddenly thought of the term sexual intercourse. What a miserable sound those words had to them. Intercourse is not the most jubilant word in the dictionary. There's nothing at all romantic about it. I longed to hear my lovely lady call me her sweet snark butt. I yearned to hold her near. Funny, but living with Charlene made me wake with a smile in the morning, just like she did. Looking directly upward to the sky, I stopped walking. As if a moment of familial atonement struck, I thought about how I hated the recent scrapes I was constantly enduring. I wished I could decode my concerns. I never wanted to abandon my family, yet I was forever dancing to their weird musical drama. This drama not only was tough on me, but also on my golden goddess. Thankfully, Char was forgiving. One time, after a mess, she said that we had taken one another lock, stock, and barrel. Families were a package deal that went with us. Well, her family is extraordinary. When they come into town, I rejoice because it is all so easy. My family is a different barrel altogether. Everything needs to be conspiratorial and difficult. Char definitely didn't get the best end of the deal. Doubling around, I went toward the backyard. My pace was slow, thinking that maybe Derwin would join me. Thankfully, my saunter was worth it, because he ran across his backyard to meet at our gate. My mom is already passed out on the sofa, he reported. I don't want you getting in any trouble with her. His words were dragging. Nah, she's out for the count. That's what your grandma used to say when my mom went to sleep. Well, she's really out for the count. Grandma always had sayings like that. Out for the count, I repeated. Hey, how come you stopped wearing your neat hairdo? Mom said I needed a haircut if it stuck up like that. I told her you helped me. She said that figures. I wish you sisters weren't all fighting. His trod was heavy with the weight of the neighborhood. Grown-ups should be better, I acknowledged. I know Mama is inflexible at times. I love your mama and all of you, Derwin said softly. That's why I don't want fighting. I'd do anything to keep everyone from fighting. Smiling down at him, I agreed. Me too. Too bad everyone doesn't make up. His face was swiped with concern. Derwin, my family needs to find that sundial. Are you sure you didn't see anyone take it? Nah, he said, shaking his head. I never saw nothing. My mom said she saw me. I had nothing in my hands when I came home. I wasn't accusing you. I don't think you did it. Who you think did it? Could have been Isabel, Leah, or maybe Tad. They all think it's rightfully theirs. I swung open the gate. We went to the swinging bench, and as we sat, I admitted, I don't have any idea who took it, but it's missing. They're all still fighting? You can hear them from here. I don't know why they're still fighting. The clock isn't really useful, and now that it's gone, they should stop fighting. You'd think. Well, they're looking for it now. Everyone is blaming everyone. Whoever took it is stealing from his or her own family. I stood. I guess I better go in and help them, or they'll be screaming at me. His head went down. I don't like it when everyone's fighting. Me neither, pal. Mind you, it wasn't too terrific when they weren't battling, but now it seems out of control. Derwin stood, dusted off his denim backside from where the swing was slightly dirty, and began walking slowly away. His head was still lowered. I wished he wouldn't always take things so hard. Excuse me, sorry about that. Kids should be frolicking and having fun. When we were together and he laughed, it was as though the laugh escaped. It had been locked away and suddenly fought its way out. It sounded nearly rusted shut. Then there was a joyous getaway to safety. I loved when he'd release a chain of giggles. I always thought of it as soap bubbles being unbridled. Derwin went to the gate and carefully opened it. He looked both ways and then scooted across to his house. It couldn't be easy being Derwin Wake.
Can we just pause for a second? That's such a great name, don't you think?
Derwin Wake. It might not be easy being him, but he's got a pretty cool name.
Okay, sorry about that. Here we go. Back into the story.
The ruckus coming from the kitchen was getting even louder as I approached. It was like going from inaudible to a microphone on full blast. Inside the place called Us, Heart, Soul, Brain, was some kind of an inferno. I think everyone has one. Derwin's inferno would have to have been very large and uncontrollable. My inferno is guilt for causing my sister's accident. It's all that's happened since the accident. Maybe I caused my father to skip out on us. Each thought that sends me back to the penalty box is like touching the radiantly hot inferno. I feel the burn throughout my body. I couldn't filter my memory forever. Thoughts continued to seep in. I wished it had been my face that got smashed. My mediocre face's destruction would be less of a loss of artistry. The tragedy of a great beauty like my sister was perilous. How did that cryptically painful emotion figure into my feelings for Derwin? Well, sadness permeated my childhood. Now, sadness is hurting a kid I care about. Life's nectar pods aren't passed out like good candy to everyone. My childhood wasn't pitiably ruined, but the undercurrent of sadness never left. For whatever reason, I couldn't really see anyone in the family stealing the sundial, even if they felt justified in owning the relic. I just didn't feel as though they would take it. I questioned if there was some stranger that might have snuck inside and carted it away, but there wasn't time. Not really, because a thief would have had to climb the back fence and then figure out how to get in with all the people coming and going. Also, a thief would have had to know it was valuable. It wasn't realistic to think of it being an outside job, but I wanted that. If it turned out to be any one of us, the dynamics of the family would be forever changed. I couldn't imagine any of our hearts that wouldn't be broken. Now, if the treasure would be lost for good, everyone would suspect one another. None of their negotiations would work. Blame, I admitted, would tear my family apart. Dreams would be forever lost. I felt the exhaustion of stress. There was the pain of life that leaves us feeling empty. I wanted to dash home to Charlene. I would ask her to remind me again why she gives me the love I don't deserve. I suddenly wanted to yell, "Fuck," 1,000 times. I resisted the urge as I walked toward the back door. In a few hours, it would be dark. I remembered what Derwin said about Grandma saying the sundial makes nights without time. Grandma was always on the money. She never allowed us to forget it either. Something inside me felt exhilaration when thinking of her. She'd know how to handle this mess. One of her favorite sayings was for us to keep in mind the importance of our family dynamic. The world isn't easy, but we're together. Grandma said that there was Mama and her three brats. Every room had four corners, one for Mama and one for each of us. And Grandma would sit herself down in the center of the room until we sorted things out. She would insist that we all face the music. But how could we sort out a missing dream when the music was botched? That is the end of chapter 28. And we went a little bit over, but I didn't want to stop before the chapter because I think, dear sweet listeners, we may end this book tomorrow night. Oh my goodness. I think, let's just make a deal right now. What do you say? That we will finish reading through this book tomorrow night, regardless of how long it takes us to go over, because then Monday, we will hear the entire book all day long, leading up to the very last portion that we read starting at 10 p.m. Oh my goodness, that will be amazing. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, if you have any comments or questions, please send us an email to words@networklisten.com or leave a comment on the Facebook page, and we will address all of those things. You have been listening to Open Book, where we are reading along and through and together Kieran York's Night Without Time. I'm your host, Sean Marie Bryan, and you're on Network Listen. We'll catch you tomorrow night.
This has been Open Book. Join us again and again as we read through each book together to the end. Have a book request? Want to have your book read on Open Book? Send us a note to words@networklisten.com. Until next time, we'll keep the story safe.
When you hold a sapphire up to the light, it reveals magical facets with intriguing shades of color. The same can happen when you unlock the stories within a sapphire book. Whether you are an author looking for a brave, sustainable home, or a reader seeking books that dare to take on new frontiers, Sapphire Books Publishing is a treasure ready to be shared. Discover the gem in lesbian publishing. Discover sapphirebooks.com.